This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, and you're listening to an interview with the iconic American designer, a true American original, Donna Karan. Kathy Sheppes and I spoke to her in front of a live audience at the event space attached to the Urban Zen store in Greenwich Village, which at the time was hosting an international holiday craft market. It was a wonderful evening. I know a lot of you wanted to come and tried to get tickets, but could not. We sent out the invitation email, and within 40 minutes, we were over capacity on the guest list. So sorry for those of you who could not make it. We had over 300 people on the wait list. It was crazy. Very special thank you to Heidi Krupp and Colleen McCarthy at Krupp Communications for setting this up. The space we're in, the Urban Zen store, supports a wonderful nonprofit foundation founded by Donna Karan, and you'll hear more about that now.
Welcome, everybody. You are at Urban Zen, but I really think I should call it Urban Chaos. It's a dream. It's a dream that I had about 20 years ago. And you're in what was known as my husband's studio. My husband was an artist. He was a sculptor. He was my partner in life. And I can show you some of his pieces around here. If any of you know the big bronze apple on the river, that's my husband's. And any of you know any of my perfume bottles that I've done? My husband created all my bottles, my fragrances, and he was really my partner in everything. And this was his studio. So my husband's work was putting dots on a piece of paper, and he connected the dots, and out of the dots came his works of art, which was really quite extraordinary. He said to me, you know, Donna, we both can't be out there in the world, so I guess it's going to be you. Thanks, honey. Love you dearly. I was born into fashion. Actually, when I was 3 years old, watching the Macy's Day Parade, which I found quite humorous the other day while I was standing at 70 years old watching the Macy's Day Parade. So it was 67 years that I watched the Macy's Day Parade. It's my favorite thing in New York City. I was born into fashion. My father was in fashion. My mother was in fashion. And the last thing I wanted to do was to be in fashion. So my only word to all of you who are students, whatever you think it is, it ain't. So forget about that. We're being guided, and whatever happens to us is on a higher level. And to me, right now, we're looking at a life where it's not about what we wear on the outside, but what we wear on the inside and what the world is all about. And in the fashion world, having designed it for so many years, I had started at Anne Klein. Just a quick 101 for those of you who don't know. I was delivering a baby, my daughter, Gabby, and she is now 44, 45. And my boss, Anne Klein, was in the hospital, and we had a collection due that day. So for any of you who want to be in fashion, I would really take another think about that. So I was thrown back to the office the next day to do a show. And there I was after being rather very pregnant, 10-pound baby girl. And today she has a restaurant, if some of you know, Tutto Il Giorno, and it's down in Tribeca, and she has one in and two in the Hamptons, one in South and one in East Hampton, at Sag Harbor. And where my life has gone as a woman, I've been a yogi practically my whole life when I started at 18, and I wore a bodysuit and, you know, a piece of fabric, wrap and tie, and that kind of stuff. My father was a tailor, so I love tailoring, and how I created what I call 7 easy pieces, because I do believe you can put 7 pieces together in your wardrobe, and that's all you need. And I think your scarf actually is the most important piece. Okay, everything else, because a scarf, and as you look around, as we sit here at Urban Zen, there are amazing scarves from all over the world. You see them from India, from Pakistan, from China, and every scarf that's really all you need. I mean, you have a scarf, you can wrap yourself up in it, you know, and that's where chartouche in India and in the Himalayas. And if you look around the room, there are the amazing photographs by Jimmy Nelson. So where you are right now is Urban Zen, that being my husband's studio, and I turned it into a space and a place where we all come together to create change. The change being past, present, future. The past is preservation of culture, and God only knows you see culture all around you as you sit here today. The present is healthcare. Where is the care in healthcare? And the future is education, to give our young people and ourselves the tools that we need to be here in the world, which is not only reading, writing, and arithmetic, I believe, but I do believe that meditation and yoga and mindfulness has to be taught to our children, because I think we're dealing with a very exclusive problem right now called the cell phone. And it's a little addictive. I'm addicted. How many here are addicted to cell phones? Well, of course, we're all addicted to cell phones, right? It's an addiction, right? It is. It's an addiction. And it's probably one of the biggest addictions we have today, is to having our phones, as I see you all have, as we sit here, right? It's hard. Who's calling me? I got to take the picture. I've got to post the picture. The picture's got to be posted. We got to get the pictures in at a certain time. Yeah, so everything happens on our cell phone. And with that cell phone, we are connected to the world. And how that has affected fashion is major. And that's really a problem. Where have we lost the feel and touch, the soul, the spirit, and the time and energy that it goes into designing? You know, whether it's this particular coat I'm wearing, or the jacket, or the boots, everything I wear is obviously, you know, something of Urban Zen. And I realize it takes at least 6 to 8 months to design. And that's on the good side. But if we get it up online, it gets knocked off in a week. And gets knocked off in China, gets knocked off in Africa, wherever it gets knocked off. And so that designer is, where is that power in fashion design? So for me, I had realized this many years ago, and I felt one of the biggest problems we were having was showing clothes out of season. You know, because it's just turning cold now. And you go into the stores and you see these little silk dresses. And you have to buy your fall clothes in June when it first turns hot. And then that doesn't make any sense. So I've been sort of like this rebel, if you would call that, in the world of fashion. And that's why I started Urban Zen. You know, I did Donna Karan. I did Anne Klein, Anne Klein 2, Donna Karan, DKNY. But Urban Zen was always my dream, of where to find the calm and the chaos, which is really urban chaos, in the world of fashion today. And what does fashion truly mean? And that for me is conscious consumerism, you know, where we give a consciousness to our audience. So it's about the feel and the touch, and where has it come from? How is it created? Where is the inspiration? You know, is it something that I can live with for the rest of my life? You know, is it not something that goes in and out every season? Well, that's obviously where I like black. You know, I have a black closet. Well, black. I've added some brown to it lately. And then I have my ivory closet, and that's in the Hamptons. But then I sometimes add some African colors.
Mix them up in the car when you're driving home.
A little bit.
So if I may,
please,
because you've touched on so many things, so even just to share a little bit more about the foundation itself, and something you talked about in people spending so much time on their cell phone, it's causing a lot of isolation, and I think at the same time, a lot of people, there's a lot of growth in the wellness industry. So something you touched on, very important, is also the work that you're doing, if you could talk about it. The Urban Zen Foundation and the kind of integration, the work that you're doing now, I think with UCLA and you've done with some hospitals here, is amazing.
Thank you. What I found in my life And having experienced illness for so many years, I realized that the hospitals were taking care of the disease. But who was taking care of the patients and loved ones? And the nurses and the doctors. And I was fortunate to have that kind of person available in my life, which is a healer, is somebody who did body work, who understood essential oils. And I, within this space, we did a 10-day program after my husband passed away. He said to me, Donna, whatever you do, you must take care of the nurses. So with that, for 10 days, we had every doctor, every nurse. I mean, this place was crazy. At first, we had actually His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. So you're in a very sacred space where some really cool things happen. And when we were there, my yoga teachers, Rodney and Colleen Sademan, said, well, why don't we teach yoga teachers how to care for patients or care for people? And there was established the Urban Zen Integrative Therapist. And it's a 700-hour training. You must be a yoga teacher for at least 4 to 5 years or an allied health professional to even take the course. So, because then when you go into the hospital and you experience it, you're in a state of shock. And because it's not what you think it is. You know, you're living moment to moment, and when you're in the hospital, as our integrative therapist started at Beth Israel, we decided to go on one floor to experiment. I didn't want to go throughout the whole hospital because, oh, we want you in the hospital. I said, no, I want to go on one floor. We treated 18 to 20 people, and we saved $900,000 on one floor of a hospital, which is less medication, better patient care. And if you know the food, you know, you get a heart attack and all of a sudden you get a grilled cheese sandwich after. It's really cool. So because it's cheap, you know, and they just kind of put the food on the plate and that's the end of it. So it's been a journey for me. I've been doing this now for over 10 years. And we're at UCLA right now where we teach all the nurses and the doctors the program. And the nurses are very, it's a very frightening moment that I'm not looking around here and seeing all of us, but the over 65 population is rather large and growing. And how are they going to be taken care of? And I was just speaking to a wonderful woman. I'm looking for her right now. And she's right over there, who's a designer, wants to be a designer, and went to school as a designer, but took sidetrack, and she was taking care of her mom, who was sick in the hospital. Was she in her hospital? Yeah.
Yes. Well, it was my grandma, but she was like my mom. First of all,
she kind of grabs me out there, wearing DKNY, of course.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, wait. Testing. Okay. Oh, my God. I didn't come here. I just wanted a picture with Donna.
Okay, so you got a little more. This
yes,
is great.
Yes, I got a little more than I... Merry Christmas to me. Okay. Wow. Well, I don't even know why anyone wants to know my story, but...
What's your name?
My name is Farah, and my grandmother had the same brain tumor that Senator McCain passed away from. And it's a really aggressive tumor. I sort of watched her in a very short amount of time go from someone who I knew my whole life and who was so full of life even when you looked at her. And it just took so much from her. And fashion, honestly, it gets a bad rap. Sometimes I did some classes at FIT and it was always my dream. FIT is like the Harvard of fashion school, but I thought
Parsons School of Design was.
Oh yes,
no,
yes,
I think
yes,
it was FIT.
Right. Oh my God. Oh, okay.
It's okay.
See,
I love you both.
I didn't. this is what happens when you don't think anyone's going to talk to you, and you're just going to be in the corner at this beautiful Urban Zen Foundation.
It's okay. Surprise.
So I love FIT.
I love FIT and Parsons. Both. They're both amazing. One is Harvard, one is Oxford. So, but I had to leave because my grandmother's condition was such that it was really unpredictable. We didn't know whether it would be an infection or an immunoresponse that would take her from us, or it just takes you piece by piece. So I just would stay around her even when she would go to the nursing home or she would be admitted in the hospital for her chemo. Fashion was the only thing that made her sort of reclaim that person that even though she's always, even now, she's still with me. She's still the same person. She's just at the heaven party, you know, somewhere better than here. But I would sew things for her. I still used, you know, what knowledge that I was so privileged to get to just do what I could for her. And it was so beautiful to see how fashion would directly affect someone in such a positive way. And it's not just about, oh, who has the most expensive bag or who has the most recent, like Donna said. The things I made for my grandma weren't, I guess, recent in the fashion industry, but they were super recent for us and for her. And she loved it. The last pictures I have of her, even when she lost her hair, I would make her veils. I would attach little crowns to them. And that is all fashion. It's all fashion. So fashion definitely is humanitarianism. And I think
and
Donna,
therapeutic.
Yes, the Urban Zen Foundation totally exemplifies that. And I was just taking pictures and you walked in and you're such an amazing person. So thank you for everything you do. And I'm so happy you weren't mad that I wore DKNY.
Oh, I love DKNY. My name.
I was trying to stay out of the way. I said, oh my God, Donna Karen sees me. She might, you know, not appreciate, but it was an homage. Everything I did today, the black and white, the eye makeup.
I got it.
The straight ponytail.
Yes, and appreciate it.
Homage.
Yours is real, though. Mine's not.
Yes. Yes. Mine is, too, though.
I know yours is real. Oh, my God.
Wow, amazing hair.
I'm a hairy girl. I'm Middle Eastern. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
wonderful.
All. I'm Thank a you. Grateful hairy girl. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love the fashion story. Oh, very goodness. Sweet.
Thank you so much, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the longer term or the shorter term vision for this therapy is that more medical institutions are adopting it? Because that's amazing.
This is a huge, huge undertaking. I mean, I hope it outlives my life. You know, because each and every one of us needs somebody to care for you. The nurses need to be cared for. The doctors need to be cared for. And I offer this when I go to every place I go. I try to have the people of a community want it. Because if they want it, then it will happen. You know, it's like when UCLA wanted it because they were number one, but it wasn't good enough. They wanted to be number 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. He says, you know, we have a 96. He says, unless I'm 101, I'm not interested. You know, and that's what healthcare has to be. Now, we hear so much about preventative care, right? But what's really important is we have to care for those who care for us. So what we teach is also how the nurses they could care for themselves before they walk into people who are dying, you know, and you get that hit every single day, you know, 6 times a day. It's a lot on your mind and body. So when I walked into the hospitals, the first thing I wanted, of course, they wanted me to design their uniforms. They wanted me to design the hospitals. And I said, this is all well and good, guys, but I only want to design the care in healthcare. So that's where my yoga, My essential oils from Young Living are brilliant. I highly recommend them to every single person in the world. Drink Thieves, if you're really getting sick, take 2 drops under, I guarantee you, it steals your sickness. So what we do is in-bed yoga, Reiki, aromatherapy, nutrition, and palliative care, and meditation, of course.
Okay, so now we're sitting in this amazing room with all of these, the most beautiful designs and artisans. So can you talk us through how you've gathered all these creatives together?
This is the holiday market, right?
This is the holiday market. Well, it's usually going to be here all the time because I think when somebody sees Urban Zen, it's not only myself designing, but it's aligning with other great artisans throughout the world. The best way I could describe this, I love it, is this bag. I just came back on a trip from Ethiopia, and these are prayer beads. So if you open up the leather, they're just wonderful prayers come out. And I took this to Haiti, where I work in Haiti, a tremendous amount of work there, and I made a bag. And then I made, my necklace isn't, but there's the necklaces like this, there's the artistry. I have an amazing artist from South Africa. We just love each other so much. She's brilliant. Her work is over here. She does jewelry, fabrics, and she's from South Africa, and I adore her to death. And she came to Santa Fe with me, and this year I was asked to be the, sort of the liaison in Santa Fe, and I brought my Haitian people there, which was really exciting. And all of this was my inspiration through President Clinton, because for me, the Clinton Global Initiative has made me who I am. President Clinton and Hillary, I dressed him, believe it or not, he wore my suit when he became president. And Hillary Clinton wore the cold shoulder at the first White House dinner. And I didn't even know, but I opened up the New York Times and there she is in the cold shoulder. And now I see everybody wearing the cold shoulder thinking they're all wearing my clothes, but they're not because they're knockoff. So whatever, it doesn't matter.
You know you started it.
You know, but at least I know I'm leaving a legacy of a cold shoulder, a wrap and tie skirt, a bodysuit, a few other things I do, stretch. Nobody was doing stretch either. You know, and I said, well, I say if you can't do yoga in it, I don't want to design it. So it's like you can't do yoga or go out or sculpt. You know, I do love sculptural fabrics, too. I love 7 easy pieces. I love to be able to travel the world, adding on additional. I love doing it. And so my somebody came and why do I do menswear? This is really a funny story. This guy walks in and says, Donnie, you have to do menswear. And I go, but I'm a woman. Why would I do men's? Well, my father was a men's tailor, and he made beautiful suits. So I said, there's a little something there. But my husband was wearing Armani, and I said, listen, if you could make a suit, him look as good as he did in Armani, then we'll talk about it. So I gave him a bunch of fabric, and I said, here's a photograph of my father, who was a tailor, who made all the suits for my mother, and then my jackets that I did as a woman. And I said, if you can make it in black and stretch, size 54 long, and I'll give you the look. And I like it because my husband never wore a suit in his life. Then I'll consider it. And he did. And I said, oh, my God, he looks really cool in this, you know. Okay, let me do a few pieces. And I made all these samples. And I show my partners. And they walk in. And they said, what do you think of these men's suits? And they said, it's really nice, Donna. What are you going to do with it? I said, well, they're walking down a runway tomorrow, and I don't know. So the way I work is what I'm trying to say, it's thought by the reality of what I can do. You know, when Haiti happened, they said, Donna, you got to do something for Haiti. I said, where's Haiti? I didn't even know where it was. And the woman who was running my studio was Haitian. And so she wanted me to give money in Haiti. I said, I don't believe in giving money. I believe in giving the fish and rod to fish. You know, so giving them job creation was important. And I do, all my furniture is made in Bali, like the bed you see behind us. That's all made in Bali. And I love it. And I built all this furniture for myself, and everybody said, well, I want it, and then everybody else buys it, you know, or I have these bean bags. I see some people are sitting on those bean bags comfortable. Yeah, a lot of people sleep on those bean bags. So it's a way of adding the beds into the house. So it seems that when I design for myself, if other people like it, well, that's great. Like the crystals that you see around here, they're all made in Haiti. The candlestick holders are made there. And what I am now very involved with is traveling the world and hoping to get Parsons School of Design and the graduates, which I take with me. You go to Parsons? You did. Did you graduate? 80 when? 83. I was already designing for a couple of years, right? I hadn't graduated yet, right? No. I wasn't a graduate. I was a late graduate. I had to go to summer school for draping. I failed. I failed draping and I failed typing. So that's why I don't like the phone and I don't like business.
You can hardly tell. So, well, you look what you've built. It's amazing. And, you know, as part of your legacy also, I hope you realize or recognize how many meetings 7 Easy Pieces is brought up and will be continued to be brought up. It's like, why don't we have 7 Easy Pieces? And it's like, you know, the team will sit and say, why don't we? Anyway, it's a wonderful thing.
Thanks.
So I want to ask you, industry-wise, just what is your feeling on luxury? Where, what luxury was to you when you started designing to where it is today? And where do you think it's going? And that could mean, you know, what does it mean to you? And that could mean, obviously, non-apparel as well.
You know, Anne Klein said to me simply, design is a design, whether it's a toothbrush, it's a design. You know, you have to think about how big is the brush going into your teeth? What do they feel like? How does it hold in the hand? So a designer is a designer no matter what they design. And luxury for me right now is time. Time is a luxury. I think we're fighting against the time. I am 70. And, you know, the clock starts to tick. And I go, okay, how do I want to spend my life? You know, that's my luxury. And traveling the world and working with artisans all over the world is my luxury. You know, my luxury is to teach. My luxury is to be able, you know, to pass it on, you know, and learn. Because I learn more than I'm teaching. Because these young people today are much smarter than me. I ask my grandchildren to work for me. I mean, they're, you know, ever since they were 8 and 10, they can operate, you know, my phone much better than I ended with, you know, grandma, give me a break, really now. I'm really bad. I mean, I don't know how to turn on anything really technical. So it's a luxury that I can have people around me who do. Right. That is a luxury. A luxury is having time, you know, time to breathe, time to travel, time to be with my family, time to make a difference in this world. And I am concerned about the world. I'm really concerned about the world. You know, it used to be a time when I would say, okay, it's really simple. It's all about Israel. First, I was going to go to Khrushchev and figure out what his problem was when he was banging the table. And then when the AIDS epidemic broke out, I realized how do you talk to people is dress and address, which was 7th on sale. So I find more in a dressing room than I find anywhere else. You know, I'm more alert with what's happening, and people are telling me, like, I've had people come in and say, you know, my neck, my this, my... I said, don't worry, I can handle it. But if you don't have that personal interaction, and what I am concerned about right now is retail. Retail is a problem for 2 reasons. A, because everybody is addicted to their phone and buying online, and they buy it and they return it, and buy it and return it. Or maybe I'll wear it for a moment, and then I'll return it. You know, I'll wear the tag on the inside or whatever.
Or rented.
Rented, yeah. But I do feel that there's too much. That I can, I'm going to tell you, there are too many designers. There's too much of everything. So I, you know, one time I always said, why don't we just take a deep breath and not have a season? How great that would be. But no, fashion is pre-fall, fall, resort, spring and summer, five deliveries. Are you crazy?
So I have to
I'm
ask.
I'm exhausted.
You are a big part of CFDA.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't it change? It just seems so obvious that it should.
I think you should call the designers okay. And ask them. I agree. Listen, I mean, I'm just frustrated beyond belief because I had said years and years ago that if you don't change, you're talking to the consumer and all they care about is sale. It's like the white sheet business. Who would buy a sheet at regular price? They're waiting for the sale. But if you don't bring, and if you show everybody what's out there that's coming in 8 months from now, they're really not interested. It's buy now, wear now. So, and if you think about it, what you see online, you can't see black. Let's get clear. You really can't. You know, you can't feel it. You don't know what the fabric is. You can't try it on. You know, it's a whole different world. But if you look in New York City, most people wear black, you know. But, you know, so they buy it online, they get it in. And it's a tough time. We're having a very... That's why I tell most designers, if I were them, they should work as a group. I don't believe in the ego anymore of one name, because a name doesn't really mean anything at the moment. It might change, but at the moment, I think it's a collaboration. I think it's a collaboration of putting a group together and find out, you know, who does the sweater or who does the jacket or who is great in pants. Make it unified or recycle it and don't do so much. It's too much. It's too much of everything. And the minute you put it out there, it gets knocked off anyway.
So are you really not able to have others engage in this conversation? Because it's, I mean, it's what you're saying is brilliant. It's right on target.
I agree. I've been only talking about this for over... 15 years.
Who are your heroes in fashion right now? Who's doing the right thing that's in the younger group? Who's doing cool stuff to you?
I don't know names, so I'm really bad at that.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
What about things you see on the street that make sense to you?
People. No, I don't see design. I really don't. I'm going to be very bluntly honest because... I don't think there's a signature out there, you know, other than Gucci, you know, who's, everybody's knocked off anyway right now. And I think everybody's in their own individual style. You know, I can't tell, and respectfully speaking to Asian people sitting here, I don't know where country anybody's from. You could be from anywhere in the world. You could all be from America. I can't tell where you're from. I mean, everybody looks alike. You go to the airport, everybody's in sneakers and jeans or sweatpants. Sorry, no more jeans. That's out the window.
We're throwing a little New York Fashion Week tailgate party, and you should come. That's right, it's another New York Fashion Week pregame show, and we're doing it live on stage this time, January 29th at the Cutting Room on 32nd Street. That's a Tuesday night. Kathy and I will be joined by none other than Gary Wassner and Lauren Sherman. And if you don't know who they are, you should listen to this show more often. Plus some special surprise guests, New York Fashion Week related guests. So it's $25 for an early bird ticket. And once those run out, $35 is general admission. And if you want to splurge, we have two private balconies available to bring the whole office. That's a little more pricey, but there's an open bar for that. And a big chunk of the ticket sales is going to a fashion-related charity, and I couldn't decide which one, so we're going to decide it randomly on stage from Mystery Envelopes, Wheel of Fortune style. So that's January 29th, 6 p.m., the New York Fashion Week pregame show. Tickets available at designflaw.wtf, and AmericanFashionPodcast.com.
Can you talk to us about how you think about texture and color, just in a nebulous way? How do you have any rules about those in,
nope.
in the way you think?
No. No, I care more about personal, you know, and if you look around here, you have your black and white story, you have your explosive color story, you have your indigo story. I keep the men in sort of neutrals, black, brown, ivory, a little bit of red because I love red for Christmas. I always like red at Christmas.
Now, we're here in your holiday market that's attached to Urban Zen.
This is Urban Zen's holiday market, but I think it's more than a holiday market because I call it that, but hopefully it will be open up all the time now.
But these things are made all around the world. Did you direct the design of these things, or
did you
invite people to bring things?
I navigate it.
Navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
You selected what's here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a curation for you now.
Mm-hmm.
Has it always been curation, or were you more hands-on before with designing specifics?
Well, this year, because I went down to Costa Rica, and I'm working on a whole recycle story right now with... I'll tell you in a minute. We formed a coalition down in Costa Rica on all sustainability, and I'm on my way to South America, and I'm going to be working in Guatemala, in Colombia, in Brazil. So we have a little Brazil over here. We have a little Peru. We have a little Colombia. So it's there's new things entering my sight line, and yes, I do edit because I kind of want it to be who I am, you know. So I do work with the designers, I work with the artisans, the indigos inside I'm in love with. I hope I'm an inspiration to designers.
So you've really embraced being a merchant now, as much as being a designer.
No, because I just won't take anything. You know,
okay.
So I work with them as a... I come from a design mentality.
Sure, but
you, know, because
you,
design
you have things
meaning
well
a person.
Beyond clothing here. I mean, for the people listening who can't see the room, you have furniture and you have antique
pieces.
Well,
the furniture I design and I work along with artisans all over the world. I mean, mainly in the East.
We're sitting in front of a gorgeous bed. This thing looks
that
so
I
comfortable.
Designed. So all the furniture, let's see... The L shape I design, and that's been a signature of mine for many, many years. The big wooden tables I've designed, they've been a signature. Actually, they were designed for my Donna Karan store from Bali. And then I designed my whole house down in Paraquet with all this furniture. So everybody comes down and sees it. Oh, no, 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 no. I go, okay, you can have it.
So what brings you joy, really, about
so
bringing
all the things
artists,
in
these
Haiti,
artisans
I work
together?
With the artisans of Haiti, literally, on everything.
And also, I mean, have you opened schools there? Like, you're
mm-hmm.
kind of changing
so I opened a
their
school,
lives.
I opened a school called The Dot, Design Organizational Training, which is a vocational school. That's not really a school, but it's where the artisan can come. Because if you go to Haiti, which is truly an experience, and I'm trying to figure it out now, and I've been there now for, I think, 9 years since the earthquake, which is coming up, the 9th anniversary or the 10th. I'm not really sure. Which, actually, I was just talking to Kenneth Cole, because Kenneth is down there, and there's a group of us. Maria Bellows and Sean Penn, and we all kind of worked down in Haiti. And what I worked on was the artisan work. So when I work with all the artisans, I try to bring up, you know, the first thing I do when I walked in, everybody said, oh, $1,000 order. I said, if you want to put yourself out of business, you'll give me 1,000 pieces. Because the problem in fashion right now is what's new. You cannot work with these people around the world and expect what's new. It doesn't work. You know, This bed was designed how many years ago? I mean, that divine glass table over there by Alana Gord, these are artisanal work. So it's like my husband's artwork.
It's classic.
It's going to last forever. Mm-hmm. These photographs, mm-hmm. you're looking at it, Willie Nelson. I mean, his book blows me away. I use that as my inspiration. And now I'm going to be traveling with Willie, which I'm really excited about. And this art piece right behind here, she's a brilliant from Italy. And I've had her for many years, and she does jewelry. Incredible. So as much as I'm inspired by this work, and that's what inspires me, and I've worked with them. This cabinet piece was done in Bali, but if you see all the old cabinets around there, they're from all over the world, from China, Ira Surrett in Santa Fe. So when I was out in Santa Fe doing the folk art market, I met all these people. Actually, I've been carrying them for quite a while. They're in South America, too. These are made out of vetiver. So if you smell those baskets over there, you go, oh, my God, it smells so good. So the whole idea of feel, touch, consciousness, for me, is what fashion is all about. That's my point of view.
And being able to tell the story about it, I think, which is what happens here, which is very powerful.
Like this necklace here that I'm wearing. This is made by a girl who I met in Sag Harbor. And they're made by spoons and leather. I think it's so cool. So how do you give people jobs? I mean, we're looking at a time where you've got to feed people. And as I say, instead of the money, it's important to give them jobs. So even when I go down to India, you know, and all the hand weavers and all of these gorgeous, gorgeous scarves, I go, oh, my God, I love them all. You know, and the blankets and the fabrics, they're things, they might cost a little bit more, but they'll last a lifetime. And then if you look over there at these coats that I just got in from Santa Fe, these are all recycled, which is so cool. And recycling is going to be such a major statement right now of taking our old clothes and recycling them and not having to figure out, oh, my God, I got to buy a new this and a new that and a new that. But having designers recycle. And same thing with jeans. You know, take what is out there. The plastic, we got to get rid of it. We have real problems in our world today. And it's up to designers to address that. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think between fashion and wellness, we're kind of hoping you'll help lead that way.
So does anyone have any questions? You'll have to come up to the microphone.
Hello, my name is Anthony LaLore. Donna, thank you very much for having us. What would you, with all the success and positive things that you've done, what would you say is your biggest mistake?
Not giving myself enough time to live my other life, you know, my health care. I don't think I will be that person. You know, I think it's innately, it's really hard, you know, like addiction. I'm addicted. You know, this is my addiction. And would I have wished that I was with my family more? Yes. You know, that I never, I had to go back to work the day my daughter was born. And that was hard. Being with my grandchildren. But I am a designer. I'm an artist, and it's very hard for me, and I'm still feeling Jewish guilt. So is it always easy? Maybe in the next lifetime I won't have this problem, but Gabby said we've been together in many lifetimes, so whatever. We're trying to work it out.
To get on the guest list for our live events, go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com and look for the live shows link. AFPOD, AFPOD, is our Twitter handle, and I personally am fashion tech guru on just about everything. On Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, there's a Be a Guest form on the AmericanFashionPodcast.com website. For comments, our voicemail line is 646-979-8709. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and other episodes of the series, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.